It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and U.S. Soccer and the Shebelies Cup in Atlanta on April 6th. And Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Welcome to our weekly show where we talk about soccer in Atlanta, all over the state of Georgia, all over the Southeast, all over the United States, all over the hemisphere, all over the world. That's what we do on AST each and every week. I'm on the road tonight in Macon, Georgia. Was a late draft pick to call Mercer's men's match tonight against Winthrop. It was a big win for the Bears, 4-0. Talk a little bit about that in the 3-4-3. And me being on the road just feels kind of normal at this point after the last week that I had along with Mike Conti and along with Atlanta United, where it was a trip to Orlando on decision day. And I told you guys a couple weeks ago on Atlanta Soccer Tonight that we might be back with a show last Tuesday, might not, with a game, might have a full-time report. It might have been in Atlanta. It might have been on the road. As you guys know by now, things happened on decision day, and Atlanta got into the postseason. They did have to go onto the road last Tuesday after being in Orlando on decision day. So if you haven't heard, just so you understand what this group dealt with last week. It was a flight into Central Florida to Orlando on Friday. It was a must win and then get some help to get in. And you've heard by now the conversations about, you know, people, some people were keeping up with things a little bit more than others. Some messages got to the field before the final whistle, some didn't. It was all over the place. And yes, there was a late equalizer for Orlando that was brought back correctly with video assistant review. The video assistant referee stepped in, called the handball on Duncan McGuire. All of that happened. So that is a big bundle of energy and nerves and stress and then release. And then you're on a plane back home and you get home. I think I ended up walking in the door a little after midnight Saturday night, Sunday morning. And then you're back on the training pitch on Monday. And then you're getting on a plane to fly to Montreal. Not a short flight. Get to Montreal, get settled, play that match last Tuesday, a week ago tonight. That was a big, bundle of stress and nerves and energy and freaking out in a good way, then freaking out in a bad way, then penalties. And that's a whole nother set of stress and energy and chaos. And Atlanta United, after getting two goals in the first half, then conceding two goals in the second half, then getting the job done in penalties, advanced into the first round proper. It's a flight home from Montreal that night. It was, I think I walked in the door after 3 o'clock on Wednesday morning. And look, then you're doing it all over again with even less sleep after a longer trip back and forth. You're trying to recover on Wednesday as best as you can. And then you're back on the training pitch on Thursday and then getting in another airplane and flying to Fort Lauderdale on Thursday to play a match on Friday, which is interesting in terms of scheduling. I want to make this point clear, and the guys and Rob Valentino and his staff would not talk about this in terms of an excuse. You guys know by now that Friday night, Atlanta United fought valiantly, but did not have the legs. It was very evident. He had an injury to Steon Gregerson that is going to be a concern on Saturday. We don't know where that will stand. Might not know until Saturday. The schedule, in terms of the format, I think people have confused the issue. And I want to be really, really clear on this. I'm going to try to thread the needle on my complaint here. The format of the postseason, once you decide that you're going to have nine teams in each conference and you're going to have that wild card game, the format is the format. I don't have a problem with the wild card game being midweek, going into a game a few days later against the number one seed. You shouldn't get an advantage if you are the wild card team. You should be at a disadvantage. That's the format. That's fine. I don't have a problem with the format. It's the scheduling that I have an issue with, considering there's a game going on right now in the first round, game one of a series happening right now. Did you have to, and did you actually get a benefit from separating Miami out and having them play on Friday night and making the wild card play them in that match to start the postseason? It was a thrilling match, and Atlanta United fought better than, by all accounts, they should have in that game, considering how tired they were, considering Ronald Hernandez came down ill the day of the match, considering Brooks Lennon was injured early in the match, had to leave the stadium in an ambulance before returning to rejoin the team to go home, considering Steon Gregerson had to leave the match, considering you had to make two additional subs at halftime. Atlanta United was in that game the whole way. It took a Jordi Alba golazo to create the 2-1 win for Inter Miami. That game did not have to take place on Friday. I do not think there was enough of a benefit to make the wild card team in this case play Tuesday after playing Saturday and then playing Friday. Not even a normal situation where it is Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. This was Saturday, Tuesday, Friday. Did not need to happen. The Atlanta-Miami game, if you want to make it special and you want to separate it from the rest of the first set of games, you could have played it on Monday night. Yeah, you're going up against Monday night football. Big whoop. You could have handled that. You're not going to have that much crossover. And maybe then you get people talking on both sides of it. Better than doing it Friday would have resulted in a better match, I think. I think Atlanta United would have had a better chance there. I don't like the way they scheduled it. And again, to be very, very clear, I don't dislike the format. The wild card should not get an advantage in any way. They should have to suffer a little bit being the wild card. But you didn't have to go Tuesday, Friday. It could have been wild card game on Tuesday or Wednesday. It was Wednesday in the Western Conference. And then turn around and play Sunday, Monday. I don't know, even Tuesday. You had options. And I don't like the way that this was done. It made it even more difficult. It gave Miami an advantage. And look, they took advantage of it. And full credit to Miami. This is the best team in MLS history in the regular season. This is a really unique team in Inter Miami. It's such a hard team to prepare for in so many different ways. I mean, I'm not even getting into the tactical side of it. for Rob Valentino and his coaching staff. I'm talking about for me, because when you start prepping for a game like this, one, their lineups have been all over the place all season long because they've been able to do that and because they have that much depth. They're not really married to a formation, a shape, a starting 11. They can mix and match, and they're not married to what is traditional at the top end of a team in a league. Typically, you have a varying scale of how good a team is defensively, but they're good defensively. This Miami team is not that great defensively. It's surprising that they're not. Why do they have the record that they do? Because they can score goals in bunches and for fun, and they're also outperforming their XG by an obscene amount. Atlanta United had a better XG total for the regular season than Inter Miami, but Inter Miami had a whole lot more goals. Lionel Messi doesn't really take a whole lot of attention to XG. He mocks XG with some of the finishes that he has. Luis Suarez is known to mock XG a few times as well. That's a really good attacking team, and they can make teams be, I think, out of their comfort zone with how good they are attacking. I thought Atlanta handled it as well as they possibly could on Friday because of the tired legs, because of the situation, because of everything that was happening in the game. There's only so much you can do when it's very hard to run. I think where I was most impressed with Atlanta United, and I was impressed with a lot of things. I was very impressed with Brad Kazan, obviously. I was impressed with how they found another gear after falling behind 2-1. When it went to 2-1, the first goal, Bartosz Lisz talked about it today, and you're going to hear from Bartosz Lisz here in just a minute. He talked about the mistake that he made in the turnover early, and you can't afford to turn the ball over in a dangerous spot against Inter Miami because they'll punish you, and they did in the first couple minutes of the match. I thought Lisz rebounded and played well. I thought that could turn into something bad. It didn't. Atlanta found themselves, and they got the goal from Sabo Lobjanidze. What an assist from Pedro Amador, by the way. It was after the second goal where the way Atlanta had been trending at that point, I was very concerned that the legs were gone and that when they gave up the second goal, the, I don't want to say the fight would be gone, but the ability to fight would be gone. It wasn't. They found another level and kept finding ways to threaten. Sean De Silva didn't miss by much. There were other looks. Sabo Lobjanidze got in behind as well. There were opportunities in that. I was very, very impressed with how they kept going so late in it. I told you to hear from Bartosz Lisz, and I want to play you a clip on Bartosz. I asked him today a question about the way Miami is kind of aligned in the way that they play and how it affects him. Here's the back and forth that I had today with Bartosz Lisz after training.
When you guys do get on the ball, do you feel like at times you have space to operate in, even though knowing you have to defend, and if the ball turns over, you have to be ready for that, but do you have space to pick out the passes you want?
Yes. Last game against the Miami, we had, with Daxi in middle, we had a lot of space, so we have to take this advantage and we have to create more chances. But yeah, it, like, also I would like to say that it wasn't an easy game because we played three games in 6 days. It's not easy. Even last year I played in my former club a lot of games like this, and half year I played every 3 days. It wasn't like that because we had 3 days off and 4 days off, and 3 days off and 3 days off is much different. One day is much different. So that's why this game was more difficult for us, because also the game against Orlando and Montreal was very tough for us. We ran a lot. We put a lot of effort to these games. So I think in this game against Miami on this Saturday, we'll be more prepared, like the condition, yeah.
I think, as Bartosz explained at the beginning, and then the rest of it, I absolutely completely agree with that. That 1 day difference, even if Atlanta played Miami on Saturday, it would have felt different. You would have had one more day to recover, maybe an extra day on the training pitch. But where he started, like, and what I brought up to him, you will have space against Miami. This is not an intense defensive team in Inter Miami. they're going to back off. They're going to pick their spots. And I thought they did a really good job at times of pressing high and being disruptive in Atlanta's buildup. But this is a Miami team with Lionel Messi, with Luis Suarez. They both have a lot of legs on them, and they both were never great defensively high up the field. So if that's two of your front three, Diego Gomez can't run for three guys. He might be able to run for two. He can't run for three. If you have youth in the midfield, I thought Yannick Bright was very underrated and very good in this match, running for guys around him. Benjamin Karamoski as well. You're going to have that at times. But because they can't always run, and one guy can't run for three, Sleash will have time to pick out a pass. Dax McCarty had times to pick out a pass in Fort Lauderdale. Jay Fortune will have times to pick out a pass. That midfield that has a lot of work to do defensively, we're going to get into that as well. They will have time to pick out passes to spring the team getting forward, whether it's a true counterattack opportunity or whether it's because of building up out of the back, getting it into the midfield, getting the head up, and finding those options, especially out wide, especially in behind the fullbacks, typically Jordi Alba, because he loves to get forward, and we saw how dangerous he can be when he gets forward. All right, coming up next, you're going to hear from Brad Gazan, you're going to hear from Rob Valentino, you're going to hear from Dax McCarty, and you're going to hear more from Bartosz Sliszcz as we get ready for the biggest game of 2024, Atlanta United hosting Inter Miami. Season on the line Saturday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in front of, I don't know, 50, 60, 70,000 fans. It is going to be an experience. Hopefully you will be in the building with us or listening to Mike Conti and I on 92.9 The Game. You're going to hear from all of those folks coming up right after this on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. I am on the road again in Macon, Georgia tonight. I had the opportunity to call Mercer and Winthrop in men's NCAA soccer, and the Mercer Bears got a big 4-0 win as they try to get hot going into the SoCon conference tournament. They've got one game left in their regular season. We'll talk about the local college scene in the 3-4-3 in the last segment of the show. But I told you that you guys, you were going to hear a lot of audio in this one. I want to get you ready for Atlanta and Miami on Saturday. If you didn't hear, the upper level is open at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's going to be a big crowd. It's going to be a whole lot of Atlanta United fans there. There will be some fans of Numero 10 for Miami, Leo Messi. There will be fans of Messi in Miami kits. There will be fans of Messi in Barcelona kits. There will be fans of Messi, maybe one or two in a PSG kit, maybe. There'll be a bunch in Argentina kits. Some of those are, especially if they're in a Miami kit, some of those are going to be Miami fans. A lot of those folks are going to be soccer fans. A lot of those folks are going to be big event fans. A lot of those fans are going to be there because of Messi, not necessarily Miami. And I think we saw this last time out when Messi came into the match. Yeah, there was a buzz when he entered the match on that Wednesday night. But when Atlanta United played well, that buzz was positive for Atlanta United. And some of those roars were coming from people in a Messi Argentina shirt or Barcelona shirt. There will be Miami fans in the building, true Miami fans. I think at times Miami gets the short end of the stick in this conversation. I really enjoy being at Chase Stadium in Fort Lauderdale. I really enjoy the culture that Miami fans have created around their team. It has a unique vibe in the stadium. I've been really, really impressed with what they've done. Make it a little bit easier to have all the talent that they have. Of course it does. But I like how they do not, it doesn't feel like any other stadium in the league. And that's not purely down to the star power. So there's going to be a whole bunch of people at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I don't know what the final number is going to end up being. I think it's going to be a lot. It's going to be 60 plus in my guess. To get to 70, who knows? It's going to be a wild night. So what's it going to take for Atlanta United to get the win and force a game 3 in this series? our friend of the show, Madison Cruz, she asked Bartosz Szlich about counterattacking situations. And Bartosz gave a really interesting answer that I did not expect. Here is Madison and Bartosz from after training today.
How important is it going to be to utilize the counterattack, especially going up against Miami when they put so many numbers forward in the
attack? Yeah, in like I said, they leave four attackers in offense, but when we lose the ball, they are there. So it's also, we have to take care about that. And I think the rest defense also is very important. And to be awareness, because Suarez is always on, let's say, on offside, but he's always on time on offside. And yeah, so like I said, we have to be awareness about these players in rest defense. And yeah, don't give them the space. That's it.
I love that a holding midfielder, a six, when you ask him about counterattacking to get forward, because there will be opportunities to do that, he talks about the defensive side of it. And he's 100% correct. Szlich is 100% correct in saying that. You have to, even when you have the ball, be aware of where Luis Suarez is. Be aware of where Lionel Messi is. Because if you make a mistake, and Szlich did, early in the game in Fort Lauderdale, and the team was punished for it, those guys will be in positions to hurt you. You have to know where they are at all times. The next topic was one that I asked both Bartosz Szlich and Dax McCarty. I'm going to play you the conversation I had with each. Bartosz first, and then Dax. Atlanta United had been on a run of five straight results on the road. They found, I don't know if it's a comfort level. I don't know what it is. They found a different mentality on the road and really embraced it, especially last week with all the travel and all the chaos. Being at home is pressure too. It's different. And I ask both guys kind of how it's different. Here's Bartosz Szlich first, and then Dax McCarty from after training today.
What is the pressure that you guys feel different on the road with no fans supporting you, and at home, maybe 60,000, 70,000 in this one? How does it feel different?
No, for me, pressure is privilege, and I don't feel the pressure that we have to do something. I think no one believed in us before the Orlando game, and now we are in very good position, and everything what we're going to do is just plus for us, and now we don't have nothing to lose because we are 1-0 in this playoff. So, yeah, we have to come back and nothing to lose, yeah.
Dax, you guys showed the ability to deal with the pressure on the road to get results to keep going. How is the pressure different at the Benz playing in front of a big crowd?
It is different. The onus is more on us to bring the game to the opponent. And I think it's great that, you know, we're playing – at this moment, the best team in the league. They set the record with most points ever. I think that's great for us because they won't sit back, which is I think makes for a very entertaining open game. I mean, I think the last time we played them at the Benz, it was like a training session. It was like 5v5 in both halves. It was crazy. And it's exciting for the fans. I don't think players and coaches necessarily love a game to get like that. But for us, we have to open up some. We can't just allow them to dictate the game like they did in Miami. That's not a recipe for success. So I think that with an aggressive mentality, an aggressive mindset, well-rested legs, we will be able to open the game up a little bit more and try to hurt them more with the ball, because you have to test their back line. They have good players back there, but they have shown that they can see goals if you put pressure on them. And so just finding the balance, like I said, about – not opening up too much to give their good players more gaps to exploit, but making sure that that we're not scared of the moment and that we really go for it in front of our fans.
That was Bartosz Szlich and Dax McCarty. I had the chance to ask them both about the pressure of playing at home, and both came at it from very different perspectives. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I'm Jason Longshore, getting ready for Atlanta United and Miami on Saturday. Earlier kick time that you might be used to. It is a 7 o'clock start, so 7:10 for the kickoff as opposed to 7:40. Our pregame coverage will start on 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app at 6 o'clock on Saturday. So, what is it like for Atlanta United going into this game with what you've heard from Bartosz Szlich and Dax McCarty? And Dax talked a lot today about the need to be on the ball more, the need to dictate the game more. I don't think they had the legs to do that in Fort Lauderdale at all. I think they tried to at times. They just weren't able to. So they had to defend deeper. And then when you have the injury to Brooks Lennon, which was very awkward and had to be upsetting to players on the field to see him have to leave, and then you have to shuffle pieces around. You're missing Ronald Hernandez at that point. You know, then have Steon Gregerson go down and have to deal with that. You know, like, so many difficult moments in that game that you had to try to find a way through. It's hard to, on top of navigating those moments, it's hard to dictate the game while you're navigating those moments. There is more of an onus, as Dax said, to being on the front foot at home, especially when you are a club like Atlanta United. It's fascinating, the conversations around certain clubs in the world. And I think Atlanta United can be this kind of a club in the United States in terms of a big expectation for not just success. I already know that's there within the 17s. And, you know, you have to understand that success in this league is measured differently than it would be in La Liga, for example. But you look at a Real Madrid, and if you know Real Madrid's history, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Real Madrid in the 3-4-3, very, very strange, something that happened this week. This is a very proud club, and for a number of years, there was not just an expectation that they would win, but that they would win in a certain way and with a certain panache, and not by being defensive and counter-driven and negative. That was why they kind of passed on Jose Mourinho the first time around. But then when they brought him in, they had to do things in a different way. And it worked up to a very small point, and then there was backlash. Barcelona, another club that is defined by style. You know, that's a club that possession is a huge part of the style, and at times maybe too much possession. I think Hansi Flick has started to flip that on its head in the way that you use possession. But Barcelona is a team and a club that there is an expectation in the way that they play. I don't think that's the case with Atlanta United just yet in terms of an expectation in the way that they play, but there is an expectation to be attack-minded. And I think that's fair. I think when you are as big as Atlanta United is, and even if you don't have all your designated player spots filled, you're going to spend money. You're going to spend more money than a lot of teams in this league. You're going to have more fans in the building than every team in this league. There is an expectation to entertain. There is an expectation to go out and carry the game from an offensive perspective. Maybe at times, especially as of late, that's been a challenge for Atlanta United because they don't have all the resources right now on the field to do that. It's been a challenge maybe for young players to embrace that. And as Bartosz said, that pressure is a privilege to have to be in these moments. So after the game in the locker room in Fort Lauderdale, when the media and I was part of the group got to speak to Brad Kazan and Rob Valentino, I asked both of them what their message would be to the 17s who were listening at the time to the press conference live and would be listening now, for example, or listening later. Here's what Rob Valentino had to say on Friday night in Fort Lauderdale about his message to the fan base getting ready for Saturday's match.
What would your message be to Atlanta United fans who are going to be listening to this and getting ready for Saturday?
I can't wait to see them. I mean, I'm already buzzing about what that place is going to be like. That's my message to them, is like, these people they're waiting to cheer for you. You've been three on the road to to finish the season there, or to even into the playoffs. And they put those performances together, and you can feel the buzz getting back for them and really supporting them like they do. So, and even, you know what, all the people that are coming to see Messi, come on, no problem. I love it, because eventually, like last time when things were going well for us, they were also cheering. So I get it. Come and see the superstars, come and see our team fight and compete. But these boys aren't done yet.
Brad Kazan had one of the best games of his life on Friday night in Fort Lauderdale. I can't remember many goalkeeping performances that have been as good as Brad was. I mean, we're talking Casey Keller against Brazil in the Gold Cup in 1998, Tim Howard against Belgium in the World Cup, that kind of a level. And I think some of the saves that Kazan made were even more ridiculous. Here's Brad Kazan from Fort Lauderdale about his message to the 17s.
People care about your opinion about this. I asked Rob about it. I'd love to get your take on what's your message to fans watching right now, fans who are going to listen to this later about Saturday.
We're going to need them. We're going to need them. We're going to need them for 90 plus minutes. I know they're going to turn up. I know they're going to let their voices be heard. But we're going to need them. And I know it's not been, you know, a quote unquote as successful season as everyone would have liked, but we're here now. We're in it. We're in the thick of it. And going into that game on Saturday, we're fighting for everything to force a third game back down here. And so we're going to need them, and I know they're going to turn up. And so we're going to be looking forward to that game in the beds.
I'm looking forward to it too. Can't wait for Saturday night, 7:10 kickoff, 6 o'clock for pregame on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. But before that, we've got one more segment on AST, the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Coming up next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Final segment of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, and y'all know how this show ends by now. It's time for the 3-4-3. Brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Let's start on the local side. A lot of things about the local side make me smile these days. I was on the call and smiling as Mercer's men won tonight in Macon over Winthrop. Was a really weird match for the Bears, who have just struggled to find goals this season, but they got one early from a penalty, handball in the 18 on a long range shot in a kind of a recycled set piece situation. They converted the penalty. David Santa Maria put it home. Second goal, Barzi Blama from the Atlanta area. He finished after some miscommunication between Winthrop's goalkeeper and back line. And it was two goals on two shots on target, eight shots in total in the first half, but not great flowing play. I thought Mercer was really good in the second half, and they needed the two goals that they got there. It just gave them so much more confidence coming out of it. Four different goal scorers, two goals in each half, a big 4-0 win for a team that had not scored in their previous two matches, two 1-0 losses. They're getting hot at the right time. If you remember Mercer last year on the men's side, they were the fifth seed out of six in the SoCon. They went into the SoCon tournament, and they won on the road in the first round. They won on the road in the semifinal. And then they went up to Greenville, South Carolina, and beat Furman in the final. Three wins on the road. They might have to do that again here. There's one more game in the SoCon on Saturday for Mercer, and they could go as high as second. They could be as low as fifth. It could go any which way for the Bears. But last season, three wins on the road, that won the title, that got them into the NCAA tournament, and they've won five of the last seven SoCon conference tournaments. Getting hot at the right time with a 4-0 win tonight over Winthrop. Number two on the local side. Speaking of getting hot at the right time, Georgia State's women, the successful run that they're on, three straight wins in the Sun Belt, four straight without a loss. This was a team that was so beat up early in the season. They've had multiple players lost for the entire season. They have gotten some players back here as of late. And now this is a team that is very successful from an offensive perspective. They're getting goals more consistently. Emily Glenn has had a great week. Aaliyah Fadul, one of the top underrated players in the country, in my opinion, the Canadian sophomore for Georgia State. But they're also getting the defensive performances. Jada Foos tied the school record for shutouts in her career, 22 now, with a 1-0 win at Louisiana on Sunday. Callie Mahon, who we talked about last time on the show, she is over 90 appearances now for the program. Her leadership is key. Foos's ability in goal. Glenn and Fadul, so many other players in this group. They go into Sunbelt Decision Day. They're into the Sunbelt Conference Tournament with the top eight teams going. They could finish as high as fourth. They will be on the road at Coastal Carolina on Thursday night. Georgia State on the men's side, one of the craziest games I have ever called Sunday against number four Marshall. Marshall scored twice in the first 5 minutes, and it looked like it might get out of hand. Marshall, number four in the country. The Thundering Herd, it looked like it was going to be game over after 5 minutes. Georgia State came back. They got it to 2-1. Then Marshall made it 3-1. Then Georgia State scored two goals in the last 5 minutes to tie it. And the last one was amazing from Justin McLean. Matt Taylor, a product of the Atlanta United Academy, also played in high school at Greater Atlanta Christian. Two goals for him. First time he has had a brace in his college career. Georgia State's men are going to need some results. They got two games left in the regular season. They go to James Madison on Friday, and then they host Kentucky next Tuesday. They're going to have to get some results to get into the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. All right, four headlines from around the world. Let's start with the MLS Cup playoffs. It's been pretty much chalk up to this point with not really any big surprises until tonight, when the New York Red Bulls, who have not been playing well lately at all, get a great performance from Carlos Coronel. They got a goal in the first half from Felipe Carballo, and they won in Columbus 1-0. Shocking. That was the last upset that I saw coming when you get into this postseason round of best of three setup. Only one so far. There is one game happening right now. Real Salt Lake, 85th minute, no score against Minnesota. That one's looking like it's headed to penalties. Maybe you get another upset there. I would not have had the Red Bulls make any upset. Nope, never. Cincinnati, they got a goal from Yamil Assad. They beat NYC yesterday. Seattle, they did need penalties to get past Houston. Coco Karaskia got a red card. VAR got involved in that one.
don't have too much of a complaint. I think you might have been able to get away with the yellow, but once you saw the hand to the face, you kind of had to go red on Karaski. I don't think it was violent, but sometimes that gets given as a red. It did in this case. Sometimes what Pep Biel did gets given as a red, probably more often than not, but I thought this one was a little more awkward than usual. Biel got a red card for Charlotte in a 2-0 loss at Orlando. Orlando was the better team by far. The red card came pretty late. I believe Charlotte was planning to appeal that. That's what Dean Smith said after the game. It looked like Biel didn't kick at Robin Jansen. It looked like he put his leg up and perhaps his boot was actually stuck on Janssen's shoelace because it was very strange how the movement was going. I wonder if that will get overturned. Charlotte really needs him for game two on Friday. LAFC was better than Vancouver by a pretty wide margin, 2-1. The late goal for the Whitecaps made that look closer than it was. LA Galaxy, there were no late goals for Colorado. It was a 5-0 win for the Galaxy in game one. They can close it out in Colorado in game two. Number two on the headlines, the U.S. women's national team. Let's get caught up on what they have been up to. Back-to-back 3-1 wins over Iceland in this window. Six different goal scorers. A few new faces like Emma Sears, who scored the clincher on Sunday in Nashville. The U.S. will be hosting Argentina tomorrow night in Louisville. Emma Hayes, she won an award at the Ballon d'Or ceremony. She was honored as the inaugural Women's Coach of the Year. Glad they finally started to add that kind of recognition into the ceremony. We're going to talk more about the Ballon d'Or in just a second. But Emma Hayes being recognized for her work with the U.S. women winning the gold medal, but also her work with Chelsea before arriving in the U.S. What's next for the U.S. women? They play England in London at Wembley on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, which should be an epic match and a really good test for the U.S. women's national team coming off of the gold medal this summer. Told you I'd tell you more about the Ballon d'Or. That's number three on the headlines. Aitana Bonmatí of Barcelona, she won her second straight Ballon d'Or. Very well deserved. On the men's side, the Ballon d'Or is kind of seen as like a Heisman Trophy equivalent, the world MVP, that kind of idea. It used to only be players from Europe. The award was created by a magazine, France Football. FIFA has co-opted it, so now it includes players from all over the world. Lionel Messi has won it the most in history. Everybody thought Vinicius Jr. was going to win this. Everybody. That was all the talk over the weekend. Well, it started to come out that he was not going to win and that Rodri was going to win, and Rodri did win. Real Madrid was very upset by this. And going back to the last segment, talking about Real Madrid being a club with an expectation of how they should conduct themselves, I was really surprised at this reaction. I've been surprised at two different reactions to this. I want to start with the Real Madrid side of it. Obviously, they're going to back their player Vinicius to win, and obviously he's going to feel like he should win. It's always awkward when a defender, or in this case, a defensive midfielder, wins the Ballon d'Or because they're typically not recognized in the way that they should be. Luka Modric, not really a defensive midfielder, but Luka Modric won it and people griped about it. Fabio Cannavaro won it in 2006. People griped about it. Why did they win it in those years? What Croatia did in the World Cup in 2018, what Cannavaro did with Italy in the World Cup in 2006. What did Rodri do last summer? Won the Euros with Spain after having a great year with Manchester City as well. I don't think Rodri winning is a disgrace or anything like that. I do think the reaction from Real Madrid is way over the top. Not so much the Vinicius Jr. part of it, but the fact that they basically boycotted the ceremony. They did not appear when Real Madrid was announced as the club of the year. That's not the type of behavior that I expect from Real Madrid. I also want to flip this to how a lot of, and most of them are trolls, but a lot of social media completely flipped to start talking about how awful Vinicius is and all these different things, trying to start a campaign against Vinicius after this reaction about how he should have won the Ballon d'Or. That's ridiculous. Vinicius has put up with so much stuff in Spain. He has played at such a great level. He did not have a great summer with Brazil. Brazil did not have a great summer. That's what ultimately costs him the Ballon d'Or. It's the national team side of it where Rodri had success and Vinicius did not. But let's stop the campaign against Vinicius now. That's absurdity. Vinicius Jr. is a very talented player who I think will win a Ballon d'Or. He's one of the best players in the world. He's going to be for a long time. So stop the nonsense. Both sides of it. Real Madrid, stop nonsense. Vinicius Jr. haters, stop nonsense. Speaking of stopping nonsense, number four, Manchester United. They need to stop a lot of nonsense. Erik ten Hag is out now. This was a guy who wanted all the control at Manchester United, got a lot of the control at Manchester United, and didn't win, and then blamed a lot of other people, which was never going to work. I mean, he spent over £200,000 to redesign a group video analysis room at the training ground. Was that really necessary? He wanted to move the benches at Old Trafford, to move the home bench closer to the tunnel, even though it was going to do these things and it was going to be very expensive. He got his way. Ajax told stories to Manchester United when he was hired from Ajax about, look, he's very stubborn. He's going to want everything. They hired him anyway. He got a lot of control. He got pretty much what he wanted, but he didn't win enough. He was fired on Monday after a run of 4 wins and from 13 games in all competitions. It's not good enough. 14th in the table. Not good enough. It's not good enough. 70 wins, 35 defeats, and 128 games. Not good enough at Manchester United. It's not just on him, though. Understand that. It's not purely Erik ten Hag, but he was not good enough after wanting everything, getting into arguments with Cristiano Ronaldo and Jadon Sancho, all these different things. He didn't do enough. He complained a lot, and he's gone. They're trying to sign, trying is the key word, Ruben Amorim from Sporting in Portugal. They're ready to pay the release clause for him. He has not made the decision yet on joining Manchester United. And he's going to look back at all the other things, not the Erik ten Hag being a control freak side of it. He's going to look at the things that Manchester United has not been the same club since Sir Alex Ferguson left. Can Amorim make them back to that? It's asking a lot. I don't know if he is a miracle worker. We might find out. We might not find out. He might say, you know what? I don't want any part of this. It's going to be very interesting in Manchester. Three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much very quickly as we close out AST. Number one, Justin McLean, Atlanta United Academy product, Georgia State midfielder, scored a great late goal to get a draw against Mercer a couple weeks ago, scored a great late goal to get a draw against number four Marshall on Sunday. I've shared it on my social media platforms. Go back and watch the highlight. Incredible control to bring the ball down on a 70-yard pass from Yuki Nakamura. And then the finish in that moment with 90 seconds left. Amazing from Justin McLean. Class. Number two, I've enjoyed watching Atlanta United make people eat their words with their performances as of late. They have been gritty. They have been strong. They've been well organized. They have fought for one another, and they have succeeded. Going to Orlando and doing what they did. Going to Montreal and doing what they did. And yes, going to Fort Lauderdale and doing what they did. Great performances. Can they dial it up again on Saturday? And it brings me to number three about things that make me smile. Home playoff games. It's going to be special on Saturday night. Get your ticket. Get your friend's ticket. Rest your voice. Get into the building. Make as much noise as you can. It will be a special night. Win, lose, or draw. Hopefully a win. And Atlanta United, a draw and penalties. I'll take that too if that's what we have to deal with. But whatever it takes to get to force a game three, I want to see this team continue playing. I really like what they've done here late. I like the attitude that they have shown. 7 o'clock is the start time. 7:10 officially for the kickoff. 6 o'clock is your start time here on 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app for the Five Stripes Countdown. Mike Conti will be live with me from the bins to get you ready for this game. Garth Lagerway will talk to us and kickoff at 7:10 on Saturday night. I'll be back next Tuesday at 10 o'clock to wrap everything up. Hopefully looking forward to game three in Fort Lauderdale, but maybe recapping the end of the season. Come back next Tuesday to find out. Adios, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.